DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is our second interview episode, and I'm excited to say that we have Donnie Brosco with us from the community. Say hello, Donnie.
Hey, everybody.
We're so glad that you could be our second interviewee. How exciting this is. If you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do for the community, and it is all yours.
All right. So, yeah, jumping on this community has been really amazing. I've met a lot of different people, and I've talked to a whole lot of different people through the site. And originally jumping on the site, it was I was guided by Mr. Madness, and I was just looking for info. Really, I'm young. I was like 23 when I first jumped on the site. I think it's been about 4 years now, just about altogether, maybe a little bit less, but just jumping on the site and finding this community was completely a game changer for me, because I needed that info, and I wasn't part of any groups on Facebook. There's really nothing I had except YouTube, and I didn't know anything about DMT, really. So I'd tried it before, but I had no idea that I could make it myself.
Right.
And that was really awesome as well. But yeah,
it was YouTube. You found Madness, and Madness, through all of his every video he's ever put out there, talked about DMT World. That's how you got to us.
Yeah, that's originally where I heard from the site.
So how long until you started actually extracting, like, how long were you on the site? Because you said you'd only did it once.
Oh, yeah.
You obviously learned how to extract.
Sorry about that.
No, you're okay.
I'm just chilling outside. I think it was probably about a year and a half after being on the site, watching everybody, what everyone was doing, and before I started gathering my equipment, the stuff that I needed, and I think it was about 2 years or so after I had been on the site when I started attempting my first extractions, doing that myself.
And did it go well the first time?
Oh yeah, I was actually pretty amazed. My first extraction, it went pretty smoothly. I thank everyone on DMT World for that, because I had just had the ability to ask a question, and I had like 9 people talking to me, just answering all these different questions that I had.
How many people have you brought to DMT World?
Well, personally, I try to bring more, but I'm not sure if I've got a couple personal friends on DMT World. But besides that, I've just been kind of talking to whoever I can.
Well, you've started a group, right? You have a group of people. You have a group on Facebook. You've got one on Discord that you've kind of put together in the memory of one of your friends. You want to go ahead and tell me about that, because I think that's a really neat thing that you're doing, because it's growing a community out of other communities and bringing us all intricately into each other. So there are people that you are bringing into your little groups that have never been to DMT World, but because of that, they have started discovering our community. And so, like, that's a crossover. Like, that's a really great thing. That's something that we are trying to do more and more of with people and their little groups that they're starting to build. So tell me a little bit about this group.
Yeah, this is probably like my first experiences with psychedelics in general, was when I was younger. But I had a couple friends, and one of my friends had brought this person into my life. He'd met him through, I believe, college or something. And yeah, he was a really awesome person. He had so much knowledge, you know. When I met him, he seemed kind of, you know, weird, but in a good way, you know, like he had all of these different passions, these things that he did, you know. He really loved cactus, and he really liked mushrooms as well.
And what was his name?
His name was Matthew Neslett. We called him Salamander Shoelace.
Salamander Shoelace.
Yeah.
Okay.
And throughout this friendship, he'd brought mushrooms into my life. I tried acid. He brought acid into my life. And in general, he was a cultivator, you know, just that's all he did was ride around town finding cuts of cactus to bring home. And that's all he thought about was plants, cactus. It was really awesome. Because he kind of shared that with me, you know, my first ever cactus I'd ever grown, he cut it himself, and he kind of showed me how they work, and he had a really huge passion for cacti and succulents. That's what he did. And in fact, it was almost like as if he was part of a community or something, because he was doing kind of like what I'm doing now, just talking to people and just, you know, he had pen pals from all around the world. He was also part of some Facebook groups as well. But yeah, he would be sending cuts of cactus to people, pen pals of his, and like, yeah, it was really interesting because spending some time with him and just learning about him, it really, you know, gave me a, it kind of rubbed off on me, if that makes sense. You know, he.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Was he older? Was he the same age as you?
He was around 23, so he was older than me. I'd known him for a couple years. He was probably like 20 when I met him.
Versus how old were you?
You got to think probably like 16 or 17.
Okay, so he was in a mentor role. You keep talking about, you keep saying things like was, used to, is there?
Yeah, so there was a fall. It's kind of hard to explain. Essentially, he ended up falling off of the Feather Falls, and they never found him. But
oh.
Yeah, when he went up there with a buddy, and they ended up going up to the end of the trail, jumping the fence right there by, like, on the edge of the Feather Falls, and he was just taking pictures. He ended up slipping on some of the rocks over there that were really slippery because they had like moss and stuff on them. And then he fell into the stream, and and then he fell down the Feather Falls.
And then they never found him. They never located him.
No, but
oh,
when this happened, my friend called my buddy. And we were all together. We were supposed to be at a concert with Salamander the night before, but for some reasons, personal reasons, he ended up not going. He was sad because he had just lost his grandmother, and like,
oh.
She was his life. You know, he was really destroyed. You know, dealing with that. But yeah, so then the next day he went up on that hike, and that's when that happened. But when it did happen, my buddy called my friend. We all got in the car. We all went down there, and my buddy had already done the whole hike that day. So when Matt fell, he ran all the way back to where to the front of the, like, where you enter, pretty much.
Right.
At least to where he could get a cell phone reception, called some people, let them know what was going on. And then we got together and we went down there. You know, I've never seen a salamander in my life, but it was interesting walking up that hill. We didn't get to the end because it was the sun was going down. If we had continued to the end of the trail, the sun would be down by the time we had gotten there. So we decided to turn back. But on our way up there, it just so happened to be that season too, that the salamanders were migrating. So right. Just that whole time walking up the hill, we were seeing salamanders like crawling uphill. It was really interesting. Yeah.
That gave me goosebumps hearing that.
Yeah,
because he was with the salamander. He became a salamander, and he went off in his little salamander way.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. I don't know. It was just I'd never seen that in my life, something like that. And anyways, that's kind of what sparked my interest in all of this is and kind of like finding this knowledge that my friend had. And trying to learn the things he knew and what he did, and you know, and kind of like honoring that, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. The design that you drew, it's so good. Especially now hearing the rest of this story, like the design is perfect that you drew up that we put out there for people to be able to purchase in the merch store. So,
oh,
wow,
yeah. Some slaps right now too.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah, so but yeah, it's an amazing person. You know, when he passed away, me and my brother, because my brother lived with him, so we collected his like his spore library, the library that he had,
and it was
so diverse. You know, like. I'm just getting to the point where I'm understanding how some of these mushrooms like work. And this guy was 23 and had so much success with his experiments. It blows me away. He had fully colonized like his planters outside with his cactus, had grain spawn inside of it with wood chips, and he had plenty of success growing outdoor beds of psilocybe cyanescence, the wavy caps, the ovoids, stuntii, blue ringers. In his collection, he had an albino A+, 4-print, B+. And I did not know what I was going to do with that. When we collected it, in fact, I had tried and failed. We had passed the spores on to a friend who was also experimenting, tried and failed, and then they went on to another friend who had kind of just sat on them for a while. And so I was told myself I need to learn this, and taught myself how to do my own agar. I started watching some videos of Michael Madness, and he directed me to you guys, and that's kind of where I started flourishing. You know, I have you guys to thank for everything, really. I started from having no friends in this hobby, you know, talking to nobody except, you know, figuring it all out myself.
Right.
And so I taught myself how to do the agar.
Was that hard? Was it hard learning the intricacies of everything that you now have the knowledge? Did you find it hard?
Absolutely. You know, with the agar especially, it's trial and error. You know, my first three attempts, all of my cups contaminated, and you know, failure. I had me, you know, second guessing what I did and didn't know, and you know,
spoken
over
like two mycologists.
Yeah, you know, I'm helping some friends right now too, and it's like I didn't have this kind of help when I started. So to see my friends now progressing and learning and doing this, it's awesome, you know.
Right, it's exciting because you are helping spread knowledge, because knowledge is free. Everybody should be able to gain access to it. And when they do, and they self-discover it, and they're able to do it with you, it kind of builds a community, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. Mm-hmm. It spreads like a wildfire too, because it's like you show somebody something, and that and inspires them, and they go and they start showing other people, and it, you know, it all comes down to, you know, it's amazing, because it makes me think of Salamander. You know, it's all inspiration from him, you know, and the love he left
the weird
here
guy, like mushrooms and cacti. Yeah, those are always the best people to spark inspiration into a whole community. I've seen yours. The one that you guys are building is just growing. You've got so many good, like, you've got good people in those groups.
And I'm talking to some amazing people, and I'm so excited because we're starting some projects, and yeah.
So no friends, and now look at you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is, really.
You're even on staff with us at DMT World.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you guys so much for that, too. I was kind of patrolling already.
I was going to say, you just kind of did it yourself anyways, whether you had a title or not. It was kind of like, I mean, we gave you the title. You'd already done you were already on staff pretty much, I'm getting at that point in time. Anybody that was self-patrolling that well. I think I even tried to, I think one of your buddies at one point in time had come on and had accidentally, it was like his first time on, and he accidentally said something he wasn't supposed to. And just about got taken out. Yeah. And I think you went to bat for that dude. So I hope he appreciates what you've done for him. So where you are located, is there a lot of people doing what you're doing in the community you live in?
I know.
Because there's not. In my community, there's not people doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm that person.
That are doing this in my area are kind of my close friends, the friends that all knew. Like, it's interesting. Right. The people that are growing around me are the same people I hung out with Salamander with, you know?
Right, so hit to branch off of him.
Yeah, everyone's kind of, it's interesting the way it's developed.
Do you guys have like a psychedelic society over there, or any of those types of groups that exist in your parts of the world? Because again, in my world, it's not here. It's not in Kansas.
Yeah, I've never found any meetups. I've never found I'm talking to some people right now that are doing like this. They're a bunch of mycologists getting together. They're going to go do this camping thing in Michigan. That's about as close as I can get here, though, you know?
Right.
They're not around me, really. I mean, me and my buddies get together. That's we're trying to figure some stuff out, you know, find some more people, branch out. I have found a couple of people in my area that actually do grow, and that's only recently developed, though. You know, it's kind of all just kind of been developing as I go, you know. Maybe I just didn't see it before, or, you know.
True. Do you live somewhere where either psychedelics are decriminalized or legal, or anything that's remotely close to those types that happening, or are you like me and everything is against the law and even thinking about it can maybe get you in trouble?
Yeah, the laws around psychedelics here are a little bit weird, you know. Like, what was it? Is it Oakland that just completely legalized recreational psychedelic use? I think it was Oakland.
I think you might.
Yeah, that's right here by me. But yeah, in general, I'm really hopeful here sometime here in the future that laws and legalities around specifically.
And it was Oakland. You are correct on that, by the way. I just looked it up.
Nice. Yeah. I think it's just weird, you know, because I live in a state that, you know, a lot of people find it like really liberal, but in general, laws around specifically psychedelics are very strict around here.
Do you think it's because it's the beginning of this movement? Like, where, you know, cannabis kind of was the same way. It in the beginning, like, people, the laws kind of were iffy. It wasn't as relaxed as they are now. I feel that we're so in the beginning of that psychedelic. I really think they needed to legalize and decriminalize psychedelics so they could start utilizing them in therapies and things in that nature more. So they had to fast track that. Well, the best places to do that are the places like California, Colorado, you know, Oregon, those places, because they are a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more liberal in that thinking. So I think, and that you're right, we get lost in the thought of, it's all of California, it's all of Colorado. We forget that when you get into states and you break it down, that they have their own areas too, and how their laws and their cities and their counties and everything else that goes into that, they have a law. They have their guidelines they have to stick to. And so that makes total sense. That's weird that Oakland just, like you said, it's right over by you.
Yeah.
Were you a Raiders fan, Donnie?
Yeah, I think that I was born into that.
Born into being a Raider. Yeah. That's okay. I'm a Raiders fan. It's fine. I am a Raiders fan, and I live in Kansas. And all my Kansas City Chiefs fans do not particularly care for the fact that I am a diehard Raiders fan. So it's all right.
Yeah. I don't really watch much sports, though. I don't find it either. It's just not entertaining as much as it is for others. For me, I don't know.
I agree. I don't watch as much. I'm not much. Raiders football is about the extent I'll watch at this point in time. And, you know, I think that came from many, many, many years working in the bar. I work behind bars. And so, especially football. And the football was the one team. My roommate was all about the Raiders. So I knew so much about the Raiders that, I mean, I, with my eyes closed, I could tell you everything. And so you just kind of, after a while, that, and then when everybody else hates the team that you're rooting for, you know, that kind of puts a thing in you, you know, that gives you that little edge of competition, you know? So that I really believe that's why I'm a Raiders fan, because my whole family are Chiefs.
Or there's Raider fans, and then they clash, you know?
Oh, yeah. We make it to the Raider games when they are at Arrowhead, just because most of my friends, we get the tickets for free because most of my friends that have season tickets won't go watch these games. So I've seen a lot of Raiders play at the Arrowhead Stadium here in Kansas, over in Kansas City. So it's kind of interesting.
I got my sister-in-law and my grandfather-in-law. They catch every single game they can. They're diehard Raiders fans.
Nice. Were they upset when they moved to Las Vegas?
I'm not exactly sure. Probably.
Yeah, probably most. I don't know. I think Vegas is a great place for the Raiders, to be honest. I think it fits their style, their flashiness, their attitude. Anyways, back off of football. Let's talk more about what we were talking about. What do you want to do? Is there okay? So you say you're young. I don't know what young is. I would say like mid 20s.
27.
Is that right? Oh, 27. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So do you see a future in any avenue of psychedelics possibly? Is that something you want to do, or you want to stick to it just being a hobby?
Well, I would love to see laws in my state change, definitely. You know, I'm still talking to a couple friends. One of them is in Colorado. And he is starting classes. They just decriminalized psilocybin down there, and he's his own classes down there teaching people how to do like beginner level mycology, grow at home, and that is absolutely amazing. And if I could get some of that down here, that would be so awesome. I would be down. I think I would potentially turn this into some form of career choice, like given the legality of things change around here, you know. For now, I'm really as much as I'm on Discord and I'm starting these groups, I really don't do much aside from that, you know. Just stay at home and stay to myself. I don't really, you know, everything I do is for personal use. I'm not blowing it up or setting the world on fire, you know. I'm just trying.
Oh, yes, you are. With this podcast right here. Mike, okay, so one of my questions is, if I can remember what it was. Okay. So we know with legalization and even decriminalization comes regulation. And so this is something we're going to be looking at, because it happened with cannabis. You know, we live in this world where they want to make sure everything is to regulation standards. What do you think? I think about this a lot, about how they're going to regulate mushrooms. What kinds of things they would regulate? Like, what do you think that's going to look like? Like, how do we regulate? Like, can we do it by genetics? Like, we know different genetics produce a different type of trip. We know, but like, how do you think they're going to be able to regulate the use or anything with mushrooms? Is it going to be by dose wise? Is it going to be by, you know, different types of genetics that you're consuming? Is it, I mean, this is something that I think plagues my brain the most, with watching the laws unfold the way that they are. Because I've been following this one person who's in Oregon, and she opened the first Kratom dispensary. And she talks about, you know, she is 100% the cleanest Kratom. It meets all the regulations, everything that they need, the requirements they need to be able to sell it and be approved. And so, and she also dabbles with mushrooms as well. But this is what I can't wrap my brain around. How do we regulate? Is it the contams, like the different like things that can be in the soils, or what you're growing them with, or what is your thought on this?
Well, as much as I'd love to see these things being implemented for therapies and like that it's awesome. It's awesome to see so many people advocating for, you know, natural plant medicine versus pharmaceuticals. I think that it's going to, in general, it should fall under what our personal freedoms are as individuals. I think that advocating for these things to be therapeutic is great, but we should see a whole lot more people advocating for these things to be something that we are allowed to consume recreationally. Is something that shouldn't necessarily be just used for therapies.
Mm-hmm. Medicines. Because we use the word medicine. We call these substances medicines. We utilize those terms. We've been utilizing the term therapy for utilizing some of the substances before the medical field decided to jump back on the psychedelic movement the way they did, you know, because I firmly believe we were heading this direction in the 60s. And then they shut everything down. And so now they're back and they're like, oh, new discoveries. Oh, da-da. And it's like, before this psychedelic movement now that we're in happened, people like us have been using those terms. We've been using these quote-unquote medicines. We've been using, because we didn't want to put them in the classification of drugs. Because these are not drugs to me. That's why I'll use the word substance more than anything, because I hate anything else. You know, I was an addict. I was a meth addict for a long time. And so, like, there to me, there is a difference. There's a difference of drug, and then there is a difference of the substances, which are psychedelics. And so we've utilized the words medicine, and we utilize those things, I think, in our casual conversations and our discussions amongst each other, because it didn't put that stigma of drug on a lot of us, because a lot of us were getting clean. A lot of us are, you know, utilize these substances to help us kick habits that we've been chained to for years. And so, you know, that was therapy. This was medicine that helped get us to the other side. Now we're looking at this, and now we're seeing it advertised, and we're seeing the workshops, and we're seeing, you know, you can now go get your integrating psychedelic, you know, degree or all the different things that are out there. And not that I'm opposed to any of this, I'm not. But I'm like you, like, I want my individual right to these substances, because they're going to be taken away, and they won't be like completely, oh, you can't do them. But it's going, like I said, with legalization and decriminalization, comes regulation. Regulation puts us right back, some of us right back where we were, where we're being told how much we consume, how much we can have, what we can grow, what we can't grow, what, you know. And it's like, if as long as I have that individual right, I don't care what the rest of the psychedelic world is doing. As long as I'd like to believe they're doing it in faith, good faith, and with best intentions, but I know how the human works, and I also know how capitalism works. I also know how cash grabs work. I also understand, like, where we're moving in some of these other fields, and watching the, you know, exploitation, the big exploitation of psychedelics. And I think that's the thing that bugs me the most at this point in time, running the community that we run, is I feel like we're the people that are going to get the hose the worst out of this deal. I don't need to go to a counselor. I don't need to go seek therapy and go get put on psychedelic mushrooms. I have a bit of PTSD, but I'm not going to go get into MDMA therapy for it, you know, because, well, it also takes that
$1,200 ketamine.
Right. Yeah. And it also takes the quote unquote fun out of what I do when I do certain substances. Like, I enjoy sitting down and weighing out my dose and doing all the, you know, I mean, I've been partaking in all kinds of things for a long time. And so that's a part of it. You know, it's like, I used to be a cigarette smoker. And like, the one thing, you buy your first pack, you pack it, and then you open it up and you flip over your lucky. Like, there's that type of thing that, you know, or like I liked smoking my first cigarette with a match because I like the sulfur taste. So, you know, there's the element of joy that comes from the certain things that I like to do when I have my, you know, it's like grinding up my mushrooms for my lemon tech, you know, dose, you know, it's things like that. So that's fun. That's comforting. That's, you know, a joyful part of the experience that I really feel that therapy use is taking out of. It also takes I think we're killing the spiritual part of what psychedelics provide, to be honest. And that really bugs
some form of spiritual connection with whatever this is, you know? And
yes.
I want my individual rights to be able to do that. I'm so grateful for the introduction coming into this community. It's such a vibe. You know? I've never thought about exploiting these substances. These things have always been something sacred, you know, and
yeah, like
just in general, I see what you mean in that the community itself just as a whole upholds that, you know. I'd never experienced anybody in our community trying to charge me money for some mycological spores or something to study. And just in general, I've met quite a few people that's all that they're interested in doing is profiting. And you know, I think it's more than just that. It shouldn't be used for that. It's something like me personally, like I've been helping my sister-in-law because she's been diagnosed with PD, yeah. Sorry, Parkinson's.
Oh my. And,
it's like she's young, like 40. You know, her and my brother have like four girls together. And my brother working full time, you know, and she's developed this, and it's just been a struggle for her. Tremors, headaches, all the stuff that comes with it. And I've been helping her with these psilocybin mushrooms, and she's saying that they're absolutely helping her. With specifically the tremors, the headaches. I don't think that, like, it's astounding to me that these mushrooms have been used for multiple things that people will attest that they help, and to just see them classified as something illegal, something we're not able to do, to touch, you know, we're not supposed to, you know, that's just, it's crazy. I think it's sad, you know, because, because these things help people for sure.
Yeah, agreed. And I, you know, in essence, I'd like to believe that this is the intentions of the therapy idea. But I have a friend that I've talked to who is kind of in that field, and we talk a lot about the terminologies of how they're portraying that we need to be healed from something. What are we healing from? Like, are people sick? Like, that's what it makes it sound like. It sounds like everybody's sick, and so everybody needs to go have these treatments. We all need to go do ketamine treatments, and y'all need to go and have these, you know, mushroom sessions, and because it's going to heal you, and it, you know, everybody needs to do this. And I don't like this connotation. I don't like the way that it's being advertised and blanketed on the regular society, because it makes it sound like we are sick. We are a sick society. And I refuse to believe that everybody needs to go do psychedelics because they're sick. a lot of us who are not sick, but we still should get to or have the opportunity to access and utilize them without being charged an arm and leg, without my insurance picking it up. Because at this point in time, that's another thing that it feels like we're money grabbing for insurance purposes. And that's all we're doing. I see it in the medical field all the time. Well, yeah. I'm going to go get this done because my insurance is going to pay for it. Well, I'm seeing people doing things and getting things done that they don't necessarily need done, but they're going to do it anyways because their insurance is going to pay for it. And that, I have a feeling, is where we're moving in the psychedelics and the psychedelic world. And I don't honestly think I like that. But, again, it's everybody has the right to it, I guess. If they've got the insurance, it'll pay for it, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but like that's what it feels like. And I don't like feeling like this. I want to be 100% supportive of psychedelics. I want to be 100%. Mm-hmm.
Takes away.
Exactly.
The aspect, like you said, the spiritual aspect of it, that's part of the reason why I love DMT so much. It's every time you go in, it's a journey. And, me personally, I'm not looking to get super high or it's not something recreational. I put myself in a state of mind where I set my intentions. I think about what I want out of the experience, and in general, it just feels spiritually connecting for me. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, in general, yeah, and I feel like that's also what this idea that people need these things specifically because of something that's wrong with them. I think that is also, I agree with you there, that it's kind of crazy. People do this because people want connections with what we're experiencing. People want to find understanding from within themselves, and that's what these things are here for. That's why they grow from the ground. They're for us. They're supposed to be there for when we want that connection, or when we want some form of outside what would you say, outside information.
Right. I was like, No, you're right. They're tools.
Yeah.
They're tools, and they're tools of nature. And how can we deny what is present in our actual environment? Also, I don't understand how we can place these laws and we can place these restrictions on things that are in our environment. That just, I've never understood that. I don't get it, but this is where regulation comes into play, and it's part of all this that it's always been hard for me to understand why laws and regulations and certain things are the way that they are. Makes no sense to me. Also, individual rights is a thing, and that's the one thing that I think I will always be on my soapbox about, is just the individual rights to do certain things, grow mushrooms. I don't know how we can put a law on growing mushrooms, but they have. Or I don't know how we can put laws on mailing them out, but you can't mail them in. Like, things like that makes no sense to me. Somebody asked me about that law. If California changes get certain things changed if they'll be able to receive in the mail. And I'm like, for mycology purposes, I don't know. I didn't, you know, like that's a weird thing to me that there are certain states that don't allow microscopic spores to be studied and sent into places like that. I don't understand that. But it's whatever. I also don't understand why there are certain places that mimosa bark, which we extract from, it's legal in the United States because when it's in bark form. It gets in a gray area when it becomes a powdered form, because then that's when it gets a little weird in a little gray area. But it's illegal to actually extract from it. And so it's like those are those gray areas. Well, if somebody's buying a whole bunch of mimosa bark, well, you know, that throws flags. Flags are thrown. They start investigating. They start looking. And, I mean, it's just these weird loophole things that come to play. And then, you know, we can't get the quality that we need to get to do certain our own things. Does that infringe upon our individual rights to do stuff? I don't know. Like, these are conversations that I either have sat and thought about or I've had with other people, and we just can't come up with a good enough answer to how it actually works. I think laws are actually purposely designed to trip us up and confuse us.
Oh, but for that, sure.
That's my personal... yeah.
Something about
Yeah.
You know, being confined within the sanctioned playpens of our, you know, kind of have to play by their rules, and it's definitely unfair, and I don't think it's right.
Agreed. Again, like, the only way that we can get things changed, though, is, you know, you got a petition, you got to go to your people who take care of those laws. And I don't know how to go about all that stuff. That's why we need the people who are in, like, my friend Prairie Drummer, who is a hardcore advocate for cannabis, getting cannabis legalized. He was a big reason why we got hemp and CBD finally legalized, like, 3 years ago. He's been helping and lobbying to help get medical marijuana get on our ballots, because in Kansas we've got some really, really, really old thinking heads that absolutely do not see any benefit from legalization. Even medical, nobody can present them with good enough reasonings to allow that to become legal. And so forget about recreation. Like, Kansas is going to be the last one in the United States to become legal, and I mean, everybody around us is legal. You got Colorado, you got Missouri, you got Oklahoma. I mean, everybody around us is legal. And so how are you going to stop transportation of marijuana coming into the state? Well, you make it legal so we don't have to go out of state and get it. Like, it's an interesting conversation to be stuck in the middle of, like, in the middle of the United States with all this stuff going on around us, because, like, I sit and I go, come on, Kansas, be smart. Pay attention to what's going on in these other places. Understand, you know, what we can, how we can benefit. You cannot deny medical. I don't know how anybody can deny medical marijuana, especially for certain things, like for cancer, especially helping cancer patients alone. Everything else that we know that goes into cannabis, like with how the different strands, we have done so much research and now know components of what can help. We can break it down into this provides this, terpene does this. You know, we know that medically that cannabis has many benefits. And I just don't understand the people who make our laws just can't find any reason they think we should be going down that same road. So we're going to probably be the 50th state to get legalized, and that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Definitely need more people advocating and I definitely need to figure that out for my state. Definitely do what I can to at least get my opinions recognized or talk to somebody in my state. I think there was somebody on Michael Geeky's podcast not too long ago. Her name was Lauren. She's a veteran, and she's also out there on like advocating for my state. I definitely need to get some more information about that. But yeah, that's what we definitely need to be seeing, is more people getting out there and being comfortable having these conversations and advocating for not just our rights for therapeutic, psychedelics, but for our individual rights as people to be able to, to consume these things, to be able to get them legally without getting in trouble.
Right.
It's crazy that I live in a world right now that's an issue. It's definitely not good when there are things that are regulated and these things are beneficial to people. That's not a way to live.
Right. I
definitely want to see some more laws change around it.
Well, it's going to have to. I mean, it's going to have to. There's going to have to be something. I don't know. There has to be. We've got to get better at the decisions that we're making when it comes to some of this. Again, this goes back into intention. This all goes back into, like, I really think we've destroyed a lot of what the cannabis plant holds as a whole. I think we've dissected it and we've isolated so many components and we've broke it down to the point where we're not utilizing the whole cannabis plant that like we used to. You know, it is known that we actually, as a consumer, especially in the United States, used to have a element of THC in our bodies because our fields, our grasslands, especially in Kansas, because we used to have what was called the Kaw Valley Hemp Pickers Association, and they were the families that were here way, back in the 60s that were growing a lot of the hemp and the marijuana around in the different fields and stuff around here in this area. And the cows, the pigs, any of the animals that used to graze in these places would eat the different plants that we were growing out there. A lot of them had THC components in it. So we, for the longest time, used to put this in our system. I really believe this is why CBD and THC and actually the combination of the two works so well in our body, is because our bodies actually respond and actually utilize it. And we used to have it in our system. So as we're going and we're not growing outside, we're not growing the wild weeds anymore, we're not growing things like we used to, we're doing more of it in facilities, we're doing it more in enclosed places, we're doing it more, and so it's not out in our environment, so we don't take it in naturally like we used to, but we're also changing how we're consuming the cannabis plant. We're not, like I said, we're not consuming it in a whole anymore. We're now breaking in part and we've figured out different ways that it can aid in the body. But again, like we're growing plants that don't have seeds anymore. What happens when we lose all of our seeds? Like, who has the seeds? Are there seeds in a seed bank somewhere? Does somebody have, what happens when we exhaust a cannabis strand and it no longer produces seeds? Like it's just still, it's stuff I think about a lot, because I don't want, I think things have changed so rapidly at this point in time, just in my years of smoking pot, that like I look at psychedelics now and I'm like, wow, it's so different. I trip different. I consume different. Like what we talk about now is different. 4 years ago when we started this, we started our community because Facebook took down our DMT community on Facebook. I mean, they just took it down, and it was like, we need a place to be able to have these open conversations. Well, at this point in time, things were not legalized. the psychedelic movement had not gone into legalization yet or decriminalization. So it was still prior to that. So just in the 4 years, Donnie, like the change of the psychedelic community, the world, like 4 years. It took 4 years, not 10, not 15. It took 4 years for it to change so drastically to where we're pushing these medicines. We're pushing them now as medicines. We're talking about isolating the mushroom, the psilocybin mushroom down to where you don't even have to trip. You just get the benefits of this, of what what in the mushroom is actually there isolating down to what isn't the trip part of what, isn't that the point?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, they're doing some pretty crazy things as far as making it a therapeutic drug, and I seen some report a while ago how they had took in an E. coli, like an E. coli cell that was, it was somehow neutralized, and they had spliced it with a psilocybin cubensis, and they made like an E. coli bacteria that produced psilocybin. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was.
Why do we do this? Like, why is that a thing? Why do we do? Is it just experimentation to see if we can or what it will do?
It sounds risky in general too. Like, I don't think that, like, because these things are natural. These are natural compounds. These are things that are okay to eat as they are. Like, finding ways to make more of them or concentrate it or control the dose and make it more of something like therapeutic, that's just not enough. It's not enough. We need more control of our bodies than that, for sure.
Interesting. So what do you like the most right now about what we're doing in the community?
I'd say I just like the way that everyone shares the information. Nobody's gatekeeping any form of information. It's amazing that you've got all of these people. Everyone's into their own thing. Everyone's got their own things going right now. Just in general, the movement, you know, I'm definitely in agreeance. I want to see some of these laws and legalities change in regards to these psychedelic compounds. I want people to be happy in general. I want people to have these substances available to them. I want people to be able to do this without getting in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So, if you have some advice, what if you any could tell the community or people or anybody anything, what would be some of the advice you would tell some people about, and just anything?
To just be more loving and to be more accepting of each other, and everyone walks down different paths of life and everyone has their own different struggles, but in general, you know, the amazing thing about DMT world is there's no animosity. Everyone's willing to help you. Just being helpful to the people around you, because everything's connected. Everyone's connected. You know, it's all evolving in general. I think that's what I want to see happen. That's the kind of world I want to live in, where everyone's helping each other and doing what they can to be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any kids, Donnie?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I've got
Are you going, kids. Are you, you have three kids?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Are you,
my go ahead. Son, he lives with his mother. What? Uh-huh.
Are you going to teach them what you're doing?
I kind of already have been with my daughter. She's been pretty interested in general, just with my work and what she sees me doing. I think that it's not specifically a bad idea to involve your children with some of these not giving them drugs, of course. That's just crazy extreme. But
right.
But like some of these practices, it's like I jumped on this site and got like a half a college course of information and knowledge. And this is something not even in my state. I can't, or in my area, my colleges don't even do classes on these things. I'd have to go somewhere different to find the college courses that I need in order to take that route.
Right.
But yeah, I think that it is extremely beneficial to at least share some of the knowledge that you have, and in general, I don't think it's a bad thing for sure. She's interested in like the agar work, and in general, I do gourmets too. So we have like cultures of gourmets. I've sat down and showed her how I would go about taking a transfer off of that and moving it to a clean petri dish. And she's very interested in that. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing to share with her. In fact, it's been fun sharing that.
Yeah, that's a good bonding. I think that's a good bonding, thing to do with your kid, especially if they're interested. My kids were never interested in what I was doing, but my kids grew up around me doing substances and psychedelics and talking to them and explaining things to them, and you know they've done their share of different stuff. They've tried a little bit, but you know, my kids, as they're growing, they don't have much of a desire to like go out and try things. They were always those kids that were like, "Mom, I want to try this. And, you know, can we do it here? Can you, you know," and it's always, "Will you be there with us to make sure?" And so that I've always instilled that in my kids. The more knowledge they have about it, the less likely they're going to want to go and try things. And because my kids aren't sneaky, like, my kids know everything that I've done, and when I tell them about stuff, you know, I'm like, I'm telling you this not because I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to experience what I've experienced. And so, you know, my kids know a lot more than their friends. In fact, my daughter, a couple years ago was like, "Mom, I need to find some kids that are bad influences." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean?" She's like, "I think I am the bad influence of all my kids." Well, and I had to explain to her, it's not that you're a bad influence. You just have more knowledge than these kids do. So she's apt to not go do something stupid. She's apt to, you know, find interest. She used to like to grow crystals when she was little. So when I would do extractions, she would sit there and she would do the part where it would grow crystals. So that was something she was really into. I think my kids, I'm not a cult, I don't grow mushrooms. So I think if I did, I think my kids probably gravitated to it, but I've never been in a place where I could actually put that much time and work into it. Maybe one of these days when the world settles down in my life, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. So it's just one of those things. I think that's great. I think it's great that you share that with your family. I think that it's important for what we're doing in our community, that our kids take it forward and keep going and doing it the way that we're doing it, and don't lose the spreading that love and understanding why we do this. Because there's that, there's kind of like a, we all have this silent understanding of how we go about things, you know, especially the mycology world. Cultivators are extraordinary people because of how they connect. I mean, they become the mycelium group in a sense where they all know each other. You can see it in Facebook, especially when they all start joining groups and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I have 26 million friends with this person. I have 25, you know, and it's like you can see how that the mycology community just kind of branches out, and then they dabble in their other things, but it's all connected, and it's really kind of interesting to watch it. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. That's like after I joined the Discord too, especially, you know, I got some invites to some different mushroom groups.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome to see how connected the community is, and in general, the progress, like you said, the progress in the last 4 years has grown, especially in the mushroom community, like exponentially, you know? And
right.
I love seeing that, you know, it's giving me some form of hope, you know, that maybe things are heading in a better direction towards, you know, being able to be more open about this, you know, and the legality of it changing in general. Yeah, joining some of these Discords and talking to some of these people and meeting some of them talking with them.
Right. You're meeting with them. It's fine.
Yeah.
Here's my question. You have this really chill vibe about you, Donnie. You always have. How do you deal with the ego of the psychedelic communities? You're in all these different Discords. You're dealing with all these different people who dabble in psychedelics, and we know that ego likes to come out and play the most. How do you deal with that?
I just ignore it. I don't want to be part of any form of because it is kind of crazy that you've got all of these different, there definitely is some controversy between mycologists and in the myco community. There's definitely those couple different groups, you know, and I try my best to avoid that or those people, you know, and I'm learning day to day. It's like, you know, some of these people, I'm adding them, and then as I add them, I see the stories, and I'm like, oh, okay, block.
Right. That's funny. I totally get that. So, do you have any questions for me? Is there anything that you have that you want to know, or you have impending questions that you want to know about me?
You know, in general, I think you have been super awesome. This whole community has been so helpful, and I'm so grateful for everything that I've personally learned. And this is always going to be. I hope this lasts for a long time, forever. Really, I'd love to see it grow. I'd love to see more people join. It's always awesome seeing a new member, you know, doing the welcome wagon and all of that. It's sentimental for sure.
Right. And,
that's about
okay. Okay. Well, that's great. I think we're going to wrap this up, and I'm really happy, and I'm hoping this recorded really well, because if it doesn't record, then we're going to do this again. But I have good feelings that this one took. But if not, you will hear from me. We'll probably do this again anyways in the future, because you're so chill to talk to. And I'm always going to need people to talk to on the Rambling Rabbit. So I really appreciate you spending time with me today to talk and get to know each other. And, you know, we can do this many, 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 many times.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. We will talk to you later, Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.